Alleluia, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Good morning and welcome to Zion. We have a couple of announcements. This week is call day at Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a big day for us because we've got a call out for a pastor. So there are some of us that will be going, and for those who don't want to spend 2 hours in the car, there will be a watch party in the basement. We'll put it on live streaming on TV. And there's two notes here. It says that we're asking everyone to continue their prayers that Zion might receive a pastor through this process. And it says to join us Wednesday evening. Who knows, there might even be snacks. The orphan grain train is collecting brooms, mops, shovels, and the like. You can bring stuff here and put it in the basement, or money donations as well. And then, not this Wednesday, but starting again next Wednesday, we have the Chosen Bible study on Wednesday night, and Vacation Bible School is coming up. So if it says, see Diane if you would like to help. And then, Kathy, you had an announcement.
I know the council members know this, but yesterday I received an email from our Ohio District President, Reverend Wilson, and he did inform us that we will not be receiving a pastor on call day. So we still continue to keep Derek Carey in our prayers and all the graduates as they receive their call. And God has plans for us. We just don't know what yet. So we'll still have the watch party to see where Derek is going to get called to. So we'll talk a little bit more about it at the voters meeting after church.
Thank you. I think that's it for announcements. All right, let us begin.
Oh,
Please rise as you're able as we make our beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my God.
I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure.
You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Lord, you are favorable to your land.
You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people.
You covered all their sins.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let us then confess our sins unto our gracious Lord.
Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, mighty judge of all people, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We have not lived up to our calling as your peaceable people. We have not extended ourselves to bring your peace in our homes, our neighborhoods, and our communities.
We have not done the good you demand and have not been the people you would have us to be.
We do repent and are truly sorry for our sins in thought, word, and deed.
Have mercy on us, merciful Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son. Forgive us all that needs your forgiving grace, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, direct us to serve you faithfully all our days.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
God has promised his merciful forgiveness to those who repent of their sins and turn to him in confession. He will revive them and speak peace to his people. Upon this, your confession, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins.
Amen.
May God keep you in his grace by the Holy Spirit, lead you in ways of peace and joy, and finally bring you to live with him forever through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like straying sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Yes. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We now continue with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we will invite the children to come up for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, what do you guys know about sheep?
Yes.
They give us clothes. Yeah, wool comes from sheep. Yep, what else do you know? So, sheep are interesting because you don't find them in the wild. They've been bred so that they grow, their wool grows fast, and it doesn't fall out and lay on the ground like if you have a dog, you know, it sheds its fur on the ground. Sheep don't do that. So if sheep wander away from their shepherd, what happens to them? They might get eaten.
They get lost.
Lost is right. Yeah, they'll get bigger and bigger, and eventually all that wool weighs them down, and usually they just die. So the sheep actually need the shepherd in order to take care of them. Even if they find enough grass that they can eat, and even if they don't run into a wolf to eat them, they still need a shepherd to take care of them. They do, but they have no thumbs, and you have to have a thumb to run scissors. So when this is called Good Shepherd Sunday, sort of, and the reading that I just read from the gospel was about sheep. Do you remember anything about that? Yes. That wasn't really in the reading, but it's true, sheep are special. No, what we found in the reading was that the sheep need their shepherd to lead them in and out of the sheep pen so that they can find grass and then they can go back at night to be safe. Yes?
It said that any thief can come but cannot go through the gate.
That's right.
And has to find another way. What if it's a believer of God, they can go through the gate?
That's exactly right. The thieves and the robbers, they have to go over the wall to get into where the sheep are. But they can't go through the door. Actually, it talks about a gatekeeper, a person that sits there and that knows who the shepherd is. But yeah, today we would just use a lock. That's right.
But it says something like that the door is Jesus.
The door is Jesus. I'll talk about that more in the sermon, so try to listen for what the door is, okay? All right.
Why couldn't Jesus just fight back so he didn't have to get hung on a cross? Because Jesus doesn't really fight.
Well, Jesus does fight when it's the right thing to do. The reason that he didn't fight back
is because it was God's plan.
Is because, exactly right. It was God's plan for him to hang on the cross.
Why did he turn his back on it?
Because that was God's plan. Jesus took all of our sin onto himself when he was on the cross. And when he had all of our sin on him, God could no longer be with him. Because God can't be around sin. Well, that turned heavy in a hurry, didn't it?
Yes.
But he did that because that was good for us. By taking our sin on himself, he had to suffer so that we won't. So we won't have to suffer on a cross like he did. He did it for us. Is already in the afterlife. Remember on Easter he rose again? The afterlife is when we rise again. He was the first one to do that to show us what it's going to be like. Okay, so let's pray real quick and then we can be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our good shepherd and for taking care of us in ways that we can't take care of ourselves. Thank you for taking our sin and dying on the cross for us so that we don't have to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, children. We now continue with, where am I? Our hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Love's redeeming work is done. For
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in high school, my grandfather came to live with us. He was a mechanic, and that's probably where I got my love of cars from hanging out with him. I remember one time I was out banging on a fender, trying to knock it back into shape, and he told me, "You'll never get to heaven if you bend cold iron." It was something that he had learned from a blacksmith when he was a young man living in Botno, working on a Model T race car that he was going to race on the local dirt track. At the time, I can remember thinking, that's kind of strong. Is it really going to keep me out of heaven if I bang on this fender without heating it up first? Well, obviously not. But it sure seems like everybody has an opinion about what it means to live a good life, to be a good person, and to be acceptable before God. In the New Testament, the people with the strongest opinions about how to live a good life were often the Pharisees. They had studied the history of Israel, and they determined that the reason things kept going so poorly for them was that they didn't follow the law carefully enough. So they made sure to follow the law with absolute precision. They were so careful to avoid breaking the law of Moses that they made up a whole extra set of laws to go around it, like bubble wrap around a vase, just to make sure that they didn't even get close to breaking the law. Then they taught all these rules to the people and helpfully enforced the public obedience to them. Today's gospel reading applies to us, and that's why John recorded it for us, but Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees when he said it. Looking back at the Pharisees today, we almost always hear bad things, think of them in a bad way, but I don't think they're getting a fair shake. They were trying to serve God in the best way they knew how, the way they were taught to do it. Unfortunately, they were taught wrong. We got to remember, the law of Moses was given to Israel so that God's people, the ones made righteous by their belief in a coming Messiah, could live near God, with him dwelling right in their midst. The law was to solve a particular problem. How can sinful human people live near a holy God? Where they went wrong was not in trying to follow the law, but in forgetting about the promised Messiah. Believing in the Messiah, that was the main thing. That was the source of their salvation. Does that mean that the law was optional? Of course not. God was dwelling with them. He was a visible presence, sitting right on top of the Ark of the Covenant, first in the tabernacle, later in the temple. If they didn't follow the law, that presence would become a curse to them. To those who believed in the Messiah, though, the law was a delight. It meant that they could safely come near to the living God, the God who had created heavens and earth, who had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, who had defeated their enemies and given them the land that they lived in. However, to those who forgot about the Messiah, who forgot that he was going to redeem them from their sins like he redeemed Israel from slavery, to them, the law was nothing but a burden. Without the Messiah to redeem you, you must become your own redeemer. You'll figure out a set of rules and you'll teach people to follow them. Or as our friendly blacksmith might say, you'll never get to heaven if you don't follow the rules. That's the state where we find most of the Pharisees. That's why we see them arguing with Jesus, because he kept breaking the rules and teaching other people to break them. But meanwhile, he was doing all these miraculous things that clearly meant that he was a prophet sent by God or something greater. They'd forgotten about the Messiah, or at least they didn't believe that he was coming to save them. They're the teachers of Israel, But they have forgotten the foundation of their faith, and they only remembered the outward appearance of it. So it's to them that Jesus gave this parable, the door to the sheepfold. I'll refresh our memory by reading part of it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus is painting a picture here of a sheepfold. It's literally the court of the sheep. It's got a door and a wall that goes all around it. The sheep are safe inside. But someone is trying to get to the sheep by climbing over the wall. He's a thief coming to steal the sheep. He's a robber coming to take the sheep by violence and to steal whatever is of value. So who are the sheep in this picture and who are the thieves? The sheep are people who believe in the Messiah, and the thieves are the Pharisees. The sheep are us, since we believe in the Messiah. We just call him Christ instead. Who's the shepherd? Well, of course, we'll think Jesus because he's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd so good and so noble that he's the best shepherd ever. But in this parable, the shepherd is any teacher. An apostle, a pastor, or even a Sunday school teacher. In fact, the shepherd and the thieves are both teachers. The difference is in what they teach. Jesus says the thief comes to steal the sheep and destroy the flock. If you ask the thief, he'll say he's doing a good thing. He'll say he's doing it for a good reason. People will always justify their actions, regardless of good intentions, though. The result, in this case, is the destruction to the sheep. On the other hand, the shepherd is focused on caring for the sheep. He's leading them through the door to a good grazing because he wants them to be healthy and happy. He's responsible for them. He knows them by name. He cares so much for them, and it's good that they follow him. The way Jesus tells us to identify who is the shepherd and who is the thief is really quite simple. The shepherd goes through the door, but the thief goes over the wall. Maybe our blacksmith would say, "You'll never get to heaven if you take the sheep over the wall." Now let's assume that no one here wants to be counted among the thieves and the robbers, so this door is important to understand. What do we know about the door? Well, the Pharisees didn't understand it. So in verse 7, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." The shepherd goes through the door and leads the sheep the same way. Jesus is the door, and in verse 9, he says, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." The door is the easy way to go in and out. It leads to a good life for the sheep. Remember, the sheep are everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah and that going through the door is how they live their lives, acting on their faith in Jesus. The thief, on the other hand, goes over the wall, avoiding the door and avoiding Jesus. This is the hard way for the sheep to go. Since they can't get over the wall, they die. The thief is avoiding Jesus, teaching the law, the outward discipline, as the way to lead a good life and the way to save yourself. This is the hard way for us, too. We can't lead a good life or save ourselves. This way leads to death. Now you might be thinking, well, that's great. Jesus didn't like what the Pharisees were teaching and compared them to thieves and robbers. But I'm not a teacher. So this doesn't apply to me. I'd like to suggest that in the same way that we're all sheep because we all believe in Jesus, we're also all teachers. Every time you give advice to a friend, You are being a teacher in that moment. Do you advise them to try harder, to be better and smarter, and to focus on the things here and now? Or do you advise them to cast their cares upon Jesus? Do what is given to them to do, and trust him to work everything out for their benefit. Every time you respond to a provocation, an insult, an offense, even a bad driver, or just somebody bumping into your cart at the grocery store, you are being a teacher to whoever sees your response. Now, I get to stand up here and teach in a formal way, but each of us, myself included, have opportunities to teach the people around us. And when we do, we choose one of two ways: either guiding back to Jesus and his love and forgiveness for us, or away from him to a path that leads to destruction. Now, our blacksmith friend, he might hear this and say, "You'll never get to heaven if you don't lead everyone back to Jesus." But really, this isn't any better than "you'll never get to heaven if you bend cold iron." It points us to our works and away from Jesus' sacrifice for us. The blacksmith couldn't stand people bending cold iron, and he wasn't wrong about metalworking, but in terms of getting to heaven, he couldn't be more wrong. In my experience, nearly everyone has a favorite sin that they like to encourage everyone else to avoid. Maybe it's smoking or drinking, maybe it's cussing or something worse. But, and this is a big but, it can be too easy to tie that to what it means to be Christian. If you do that, you're acting like a thief. If we want to be shepherds, we do it by leading the sheep through the door and back to Christ. He forgives our sins and their sins, even the ones that we don't especially like. His forgiveness is the weapon that we wield against an unruly world. Our message should lead people through the door. It should be, "Remember, Jesus loves you. He died to take away your sins, and now you don't have to live like a slave to those sins any longer." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the offering. Christ be my leader. Thank you for your offerings. It's these gifts that let us keep the ministry here going and keep the gospel of Christ shining in our community. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gifts may be. All that we have is thine alone, I trust, O Lord, from thee. Now please rise as we go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Father, your Son is the great shepherd of the sheep, who faithfully gathers his flock to himself in the pastures of the church. Grant us steadfast faith to hear his voice and follow him, even through the valley of the shadow of death, that we may receive our portion in his abundant life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, bestow the gift of Christ's wisdom and tenderness upon all who are called to shepherd the souls of your people. Teach believers everywhere to receive their pastors as a gift from you and to follow Christ, the Good Shepherd. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, hear our prayers for all Christian homes. Preserve all married couples in love and faithfulness. Strengthen all parents for their task as teachers of the faith. Uphold the unmarried, honorable, and unashamed in their station, and with good deeds in every home. Let the ignorance of foolish people be put to silence by your divine institution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty Shepherd, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant us good government and leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Author of life, you gather us together in the fellowship of Christ in his apostolic word, and so lead us to intercede for one another in every need. Hear our prayers for the church and for the world, and especially for Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Francis, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Kyle, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Diane, Carolyn, Jordan, and Reggie. Work by your mercy for their good, now and eternally, and add to our number those who are being saved, until you bring us to the day when we will rest eternally in your safekeeping. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in your name, your Son purchased us with his own most holy blood, and he now leads us through the gate of death to our eternal home with you. As the sheep of his fold, inspire us to hear his voice gladly and to follow him steadfastly through every tribulation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace.
Amen.
We now end with our hymn, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Once again, alleluia, he is risen.
He is risen indeed, alleluia.
Now let us all go in peace and serve the Lord.